You probably know that separation of duties is a basic accounts payable internal control that protects your organization against fraud. But do you know what the 9 steps are that make up this process? That's right, 9. Stick around while we identify all 9 for you.
Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function.
Hi guys, welcome. I'm Mary Schaefer, founder of AP Now, the place where you go for all the latest business intelligence you need if you work in, manage, or have responsibility for the accounts payable function. Today's episode focuses on the precise meaning of separation of duties in accounts payable. Now, I'm guessing you all know why separation of duties is so important. If for some reason you want a quick review, I've included a link to a 2.5-minute soundbite we did on this topic almost a year ago. In this particular episode, though, we're going to review the 9 different tasks that make up the procure-to-pay process and should be handled by different individuals. And don't forget, when we talk about having each task handled by a different person, we're also talking about the folks who do the backup, who handle that particular responsibility when the person with the main responsibility is out of the office, vacation, sick, whatever the story is. Okay, so you can see that we're starting to need quite a few people here. All right, so let's go through the 9 tasks. Task number 1, which I think should be task number 1, although I know in many organizations it's probably task 3 or 4. But anyway, this involves the master vendor file. And when we talk about the master vendor file, we mean the person who sets up new vendors in the master vendor file, changes data on existing vendors, and does whatever vendor validations that you might do in your organization before you put a new vendor in the master vendor file. And as you know, this task has expanded quite a bit in the last year or two when it comes to fighting fraud, and specifically the fraud, the please change my bank account emails, some of which unfortunately have been phony. So a lot to do with master vendor file. Okay, step number 1. Step number 2 is the person who prepares and or approves purchase orders, okay? So that's the person who places the order, whatever the particular item is going to be. The 3rd leg, if you will, of the procure to pay chain is the receiving area, okay? So whoever is in receiving shouldn't also be handling or preparing purchase orders. And while this doesn't happen often, I have seen cases where it has occurred. And let me tell you, if you are in such a situation, it would be really easy to create a fraud. Okay, so those are the 3, master vendor file, purchasing, purchase order, and receiving. Next piece is the person who approves the invoice for payment. Now, sometimes that's the same person as the person who prepared the purchase order. That's not a great situation. Ideally, you should have at least 2 different people involved in that. But anyway, that's another step in this whole process. Once that invoice is approved for payment, then it is processed. And again, that's the 5th step, the person who processes the invoice and prepares it for payment. And then the 6th step, which I think many of you are probably thinking, oh, this is the last thing she's going to talk about. This is the end of the road, so to speak. And while it's an important step, it's not the end of the road. And that is the person who signs checks, approves payments, releases wire transfers, approves or releases ACH payments. Typically, you will have 2 people involved in the payment process, but that is the 6th step. So master vendor file, step 1, preparing a purchase order. Step 2, the receiving function. Step 3, step 4 is approving that invoice when it comes in for payment. Step 5 is processing that invoice, and that usually involves the 3-way match to make sure that that invoice was correct and accurate. And then 6th step, the payment piece, if you will, the person who signs or releases the payment, depending upon what payment option you're using, if you're using ACH, paper checks, credit card, etc., or wire transfer. All right, Now, you may think we're finished, but we're not. There's more. But first, I'd like to invite you to subscribe. It's completely free. It's private. And you can unsubscribe at any time. By ringing that bell, if you're subscribing on YouTube next to the subscribe button, you'll be notified when we post new accounts payable content, which we do 2 or 3 times a week. And by the way, you don't need to have a YouTube account to subscribe. You can subscribe if you have a Gmail account. Okay, back to our procure to pay process and our separation or segregation of duties. There's 3 more tasks that need to be done and need to be separated. Number one is bank reconciliations, okay? Somebody who's approving invoices, for example, should not be doing your bank recs. So bank reconciliations. Next one, and I know this next step is only being done at about a third of all companies, but it's something that more of us should be doing, and we should all be doing it. And that is unclaimed property reporting, the reporting and the remitting of the money to the states. You know, all the states have their own unclaimed property rules, and you have to report and remit to them. Now, many times people don't think about this when they're thinking about separation of duties and the accounts payable function, but it is definitely a part of the process. Now, I want to point out one more thing. When we're talking about not having appropriate separation of duties, you absolutely, absolutely do not want to have the person who's doing your bank recs also doing your unclaimed property reporting. But really, the unclaimed property reporting should be done by somebody totally separate. And by the way, your bank reconciliations, let me just throw this in, should be done daily, okay? You should be looking daily because of fraud reasons, so you can uncover a fraud early. Okay, I know I'm off topic again. All right, and then the last part of this process is auditing for duplicate payments. You hopefully have somebody on staff or you've outsourced this task, somebody who is going to look at your payments and try and identify those cases where you double paid and then, you know, get that money back. So 9 different steps. You can see it's a lot. And as you can see from this list, accounts payable frequently needs to work with other departments. So in episode 100, I chatted with Jamie Radford of the AP Association, a global organization that happens to be headquartered in the UK, about this particular issue. On YouTube, a link to it will appear to the left. And as always, I very much appreciate your thumbs up, your comments, and your shares. So a huge thank you to all of you who do so.